Let us pray. Mighty Father, the precious God of heaven, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the mighty God of Israel, Father, the God of our Lord Jesus, Father, how we thank you today and bless your holy name that you have given us, Jesus, the wonderful Lamb of God, whose precious blood is still flowing until today, washing sin, purifying the hearts of men and women, redeeming the nations, and strengthening the cause for the kingdom of God. Father, today, I thank you for opening this place, the precious University of Nairobi, that all other universities and colleges may be assembled here in the name of Jesus. But precious Lord, even as I speak to them today, the students, the members of the academic staff, the other subordinate staff, the vice-chancellors, the deans of students, the professors, and all people assembled here, mighty Father, the God of our Lord Jesus, please release your Holy Spirit to open their spiritual ears today, that they may be able to hear you and hearken to your word in this very critical dispensation, in this nation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Let us clap to the Lord, precious people. Hallelujah. What a big blessing to be here today, because of the things I will say here, that even as you hearken to everything that will be said here, revival will be able to visit the university. Hallelujah. That finally, the institution that symbolizes the beacon of hope for the nation will be able to align with the will of God for this land, and that Jesus will have his way in the universities, and hence in this precious nation that bears the name Kenya. The last time we spoke, when I gave a public lecture of this nature, they were in three institutions, beginning with Hohenheim University in Stuttgart, Germany, at which Dr. Onjoro was available, was present. And then a public lecture was also given at Egerton University. And I know they are tuned in by radio, since we are live on radio today. And then also at Jomo Kenyatta University of Agriculture and Technology. And I want to say that it would not be complete until it has been spoken at the University of Nairobi. Hallelujah. Like, we recognize the important role this institution has played in this nation. Precious students, members of the academic staff, and the bishops, pastors who have attended this, the lecturers, professors in Egerton listening by radio, in Moi University tuned in by radio, Masendo Mulire University, Baraton. It is surely a privilege and very humbling to come to such a learned institution and be given the opportunity of enlightening the community of even the importance of God in the lives of both the students and the academics. We are very much aware of where our country stands today, that our country is standing at the brinks of a restoration and healing, and she has to choose the way to enter into the land of healing and restoration, but she needs to tip the threshold, the balance, that healing may animate in the hearts of the people, that communities may become cohesive again, that hope may return into the hearts of the students, even as they aspire to join the labor force that builds this nation. But I'm humbled today to share a little bit of my background as we come to today's message on the fear of the Lord. I studied in this very institution. I was at Kabete, transferred to Kabete from Makerere when there were problems here and there in Uganda at that time. Then I remember the Office of Academic Affairs here working with me very closely until they facilitated my transfer into this institution, from Makerere to Kabete, at which I did my Bachelor of Science. And as I walk through this journey, precious students, I want you to realize that this is your day today, that you may be able to see a mirror image of your life, that even as I walk through this very short summary of the journey that the Lord passed me through, you may be able to review yourself and try to identify if God is speaking with you, if the Lord may be calling you in one way or the other. But I studied at Upper Kabete, finished the Bachelor of Science, and then did the coursework here for the master's degree program, and then was very blessed of the Lord at that time to be actually the leading student in that program. And so I opted to study genetics, and later majored in plant genetics. But because of the nature of the study that I was undertaking, I was drawn to study either in Israel or in Germany. Then finally I ended up in Israel, because I became interested in biochemical genetics, understanding the genetic basis of biochemical pathways. And for those of you tuned in by radio, I will beg you to bear with me that I may get down to the bottom of this issue with the students, to speak these terminologies here that today we may understand the relevance of Jesus in our academic institutions. But when I studied in Israel at the Ben Gurion University of the Negev, I looked at enzyme systems, and I wanted to understand the different isoenzymes and how they are inherited and their relevance in fighting disease. This was mainly driven by the understanding that out of there shall come the most important intervention in medicine, because we know that the future medicine is going to be the small molecules, the delivery of small DNA molecules, small proteins, even across the blood-brain barrier, even in transporting them to the different targets in the body. And then I was able to continue for my doctorate at the University of Haifa in Israel too. At that time I became more interested in DNA sequencing in the area of molecular genetics. And in looking at DNA sequencing, then at that time the Human Genome Project had just been instituted. And there was a lot of interest in understanding how many genes are constituted in the human body, because we quickly understood that the future of medicine, the future of drug therapy, is going to come from understanding how genes behave in the human body, how genes are important in transducing signals, in what we call signal transduction, to reduce the side effects of medication. And I remember then we looked at different sequences of DNA. We called them junk DNA, that which we did not understand at that time. And using the new technology of PCR, was able to elucidate the regulation of expression of different genes. But after that, I then became more interested in looking at cancer chemotherapy and how the different anti-cancer drugs induce different biochemical pathways, what we call switch on and switch off basis, and how we could use that to address the treatment of different carcinomas. And I looked at cervical carcinoma, breast cancers, used also different models of lung cancer, HT29, and many other kinds of carcinomas. The importance then in my postdoctoral work, working then at the University of Illinois at Chicago Medical Center, at the Center for Pharmaceutical Biotechnology, was to be able to design new drugs for cancer by understanding the signal transduction pathways that different anti-cancer drugs induced in the human body. For example, in looking at tamoxifen, we were able to quickly understand that it is only the 4-hydroxytamoxifen, which was the active drug, and so there was need to clean up that even as the women were given this kind of medication, the tremendous side effects of losing hair, knocking off of their livers, the cytotoxicity of this medication would have to be minimized. And then I also transferred to the State University of New Jersey, where I majored now in teaching the graduate program on oncoprotein networks, looking specifically at the mitogen activated protein kinases. These are special proteins in the body. And we were able to identify them as potential future drug targets. And we knew that if we would clone them out and understand the basis of their regulation, then we could control what we called upstream and downstream events and bring hope to patients. And so at that time, it was also important to look at phosphorylation as a main mechanism that is used by different anti-cancer drugs to induce the signaling pathways that they were intended to bring into the bodies of the patients. This involved working with the Food and Drug Administration of the United States. This also involved being appointed into the American Association of Pharmaceutical Scientists. This also involved working with the different organizations that funded research like NCI, the National Cancer Institute of the United States, and the NIH, the National Institute of Health. And the Lord helped me then. I became one of their reviewers for their research grants. And many other journals. And then the Lord also pushed me from the Department of Pharmaceutics at the State University of New Jersey to the Environmental and Occupational Health Sciences Institute, YOSHI, which was a joint institute of the University of Medicine and Dentistry and Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey. At that time, it was most interesting to look at why different populations were prone to specific different kinds of cancers. For example, the Chinese had a different type of cancer prevalent in their population vis-a-vis the Americans of the European. And then the Lord allowed me to get into the area of cancer chemo prevention, looking at the feeding behavior of population, of people, and how that can prevent or predispose them to certain cancers. It also became important to look at the environmental insults, like exposure to secondary smoke when somebody is smoking at the entrance to a building as you enter, benzene from the cars, and then finally I was appointed to the National Institute for Cancer Research in New Jersey at that time, which is called CINJ, the Cancer Institute of New Jersey, which is actually an offshoot between the Robert Wood Johnson Medical School and the University of Medicine and Dentistry. But at that time, the Lord allowed me to teach the different types of surgeons. We had the melanoma surgeons, the breast surgeons, and all the others. There was need for them to understand their critical involvement in research, oncological research. And then I became more interested at that time in developing molecular signatures for different tumors with those different surgeons, because this was in the Department of Surgery. It was then important to identify the tumors because of the concept of MDR, the multi-drug resistant cancers. And I remember that time, I narrowed in into a very small area of tumor angiogenesis, understanding how different cancers grow in the body, and even we were able to identify the VEGF1, VEGF2, which is the vascular endothelial growth factors. Don't worry about the terminology. These are the different genes that are potential drug targets that we were targeting in our drug design for the new drug. So if we could shut them down, that the tumors would stop growing in the human body, VEGF A and B, and understanding metastasis. And the last stop I want to share today here is when I was also finally appointed to the Civil Aerospace Medical Institute, at which place I became more interested in looking at aerospace safety in aviation medicine. The technology in cancer research was the highest, so it was important to use it to address issues in aerospace safety. Why is it that astronauts suffer from loss of bone density? Why is it that pilots suffer from fatigue when they cross the Atlantic? And how is that related to the safety of the aircraft? So I narrowed in looking at the events at the cockpit and the human performance of the pilots in the cockpit in civil aviation. Then I was more interested in pilots that are showing signs of cardiovascular diseases and how we could identify these earlier using molecular signature, the C, micro C DNA, the proteomics today, which is an interface between biochemistry and computer programming, that once we would get those signatures of fatigue, we'd be able to intervene in advance before any aircraft accidents. It was also important to use that technology in forensic toxicology after the crashes, to understand what exactly took place in the cockpit before the plane crashed. At that time, I also became interested in intervening, checking out which pilots were drinking alcohol so we could remove the license from them, because we knew that there are receptors in the brain that are mobilized and immobilized based on alcohol use. so we could make aerospace and aviation travel safer. I then narrowed in also in looking at drug use, drug abuse by pilots, and even looking at just general medication, like when one is having a cold and takes the Flonase, all these medications they take. And then, how about the dose? Because when we are walking down here at gravity, your blood flow pattern is different from when you are 40,000 feet up, when the blood flow is different. And when prescriptions are done for medication, it is done here. So there is need to adjust prescription for those in aerospace or in the cockpit 40,000 feet above sea level. These became the most important areas of my life and work. And then I remember that time, I even received an award from the College of American Pathologists, CAP, of Northfield, Illinois. This was a group of professors that would walk into your laboratory, and they were charged with the responsibility of looking at your SOP, your standard operating procedures, because I was involved in forensic urine drug tests and all these things. But precious people, it was during that journey. It was during that walk. It was during that career track that the Lord Jesus began to speak with me, began to approach me, and it was a long journey of trying to run away from the Lord. The first time that the Lord encountered me in a dream and tried to call me was in Israel, when he spoke to me by voice in a vision, when the cloud of the Lord appeared and the voice called me three times, and he said, I have called you. But unfortunately for me, I was not in the place of advantage where you are sitting today. Nobody had ever told me of the fact that the Lord can call. So I began to run away from the Lord. And that's why this is very critical today to the students listening from Egerton, from Moi University, Masinde Muliro, Baraton, and all those assembled here from University of Nairobi, Kenyatta, Jomo Kenyatta, Daystar, Baraton USIU, Catholic Nazarene. Nobody had ever instructed me on how to behave when the Lord, he calls you. Then I did not even understand the supremacy of God over human life. And so I began to run away, and the Lord spoke with me in a dream again at Chicago. And still tried to run away. And at New Jersey, tried to run away. Until finally, he caught up with me at CAMI, the Civil Aerospace Medical Institute. Listen, precious people. What did the Lord tell me when he encountered me in those dreams? The first thing I saw was that in those dreams, I was preaching in many countries. A large number of people were gathered. that people with cancers were healing. He was also healing the cripples, the lame, the blind, the deaf. And yet on this other side, I was so preoccupied with trying to find a cure for cancer, trying to find new medication for this and that, with the different pharmaceutical companies that collaborated with us. And yet, in the dream, I never told those people that the Lord kept talking to me by voice and showing me big meetings in which I was preaching and people were being healed, including from cancer and HIV AIDS, disability. Hallelujah. Until finally one day, a group of pastors whom I approached, they told me they did not know what to do with those visions, but that if the Lord has called me, I had to obey. The alternative would have to be to be pushed into the stomach of fish. And I repeat, to be pushed into the stinky stomach of a fish, but still at the end be able to go. And so, precious people, I want to encourage you today that when the Lord calls you, please hearken your ears unto the Lord. I want to now share with you some very critical messages of the Lord. Messages that will transform your lives as students. One of the main messages is that of November 1, the year 2006. In the vision of the Lord that took place at 3 a.m. in the morning, the mighty message that has brought forth a big revival across the globe. And in that mighty vision of the Lord, He opened heaven in the night, and He presented two wedding rings, very golden and very glorious. And He was flipping and tilting them in that dream. And then after that, the voice of the Lord said, from today on, all authority in heaven and on the earth has been given to Christ Jesus. Now, ever since I began to proclaim this message and give revelation on this word, the Lord has spoken with me about many other things too, even those relating to Kenya as a nation. You remember when I came into this country in 2004 and told Kenya, I see a lot of blood coming to flow over your land. And many people quickly wrote me off and published it in the public domain. And I said, I see blood and parts of human bodies, heads cut off, hands cut off, legs cut off, strewn all over this land, parts of human bodies. Vichwa, miguu, mikono zimekatwa na mapanga. And we published, I remember specifically, in the edition of one of the papers, April edition of the year 2005. And I also spoke of the earthquakes that were coming to Kenya. Many people even laughed. And I spoke of the horrendous and ravaging famine that would visit if this nation does not repent. And today I have brought packages of messages here that they may look back and see what was spoken to this land and why Kenya is sitting where she is sitting today. Why did the Lord speak to me like that about you precious people in this land? Listen very carefully, precious people. There is what we call the prophetic timeline in the Bible. And much as many times we have lived as casual and usual and daily Christians, living our daily lives as a nation, we definitely knew that a time would come when God will have stricken a given position in the prophetic timeline, a time at which God would now have to demand that we purify our lives and begin to live in the fear of the Lord. And in that conversation of the 1st of November, the year 2006, when he presented the wedding rings in the sky, this is the revelation the Lord is advancing to the church. Number one, that there is nothing God Almighty speaks about that you will not find in the Bible, His Word. And that is why a lot of deception and falsehood and false prophets entered Nairobi, entered Kenya, because nobody bothered to use the Bible as the yardstick, as the benchmark, to vet what the false prophet had said. Number two, in the book of Revelation chapter 19, it talks about the wedding of the Lamb of God. I am so blessed that I've come to speak this to the academic community today, because many times in our pursuit of excellence in academia, we so seem to have almost outgrown God. We even forget that it is He that has kept us, helped us to be students, helped us in the exams, the cuts, the final exams. And so, in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to verse 9, the Lord celebrates the wedding of the Lamb of God. And that is what is popularly known as the Day of Rapture. The meaning of the Day of Rapture, precious people, is the day when the Lord Jesus, who redeemed you at Calvary, the anticipated day, when He would come down and take the church of Christ into the kingdom of God. Wow! Then that must be a very important day. And yet the same Bible says that that day will happen like a thief. That means He will come and steal the church that enters the kingdom of God. And ever since since you started entering here, and I see a lot of you still entering this place, I was sitting right there looking at you as you entered. Even now I see more entering. I said, what precious sons and daughters they are. You are my precious sons and daughters. How precious you are to the kingdom of God. And so I began to wonder that, Lord, if you had not sent me here today, probably some of them have never even heard about the day of rapture. And yet, we know that the temporary life we live on earth here will one day come to an end, and then you are faced with eternity. But the question is this: where will you spend your eternity? And that's why that mighty revelation of God that you see in the book of Revelation chapter 19:69, talking about the day of the wedding of the Lamb, that is the most important message to ever hit the University of Nairobi. Why? Because you want to win-win. To win here and win in heaven, precious people. If the day of the wedding of the Lamb as described in the Bible, that's why the Lord presented the two wedding rings, wedding of the Lamb. One ring belonging to you, my precious sons and daughters. We are the spiritual bride of Christ. But in that scripture, you see that the entire heaven comes to a complete stop. And heaven begins to celebrate. In verse 6, it says, tremendous felicitation. Tremendous jubilation, tremendous celebration consumes the kingdom of God in heaven. Why? Because the day of the wedding of the Lamb has arrived. That right away tells you that as far as the Father of our Lord Jesus is concerned, that is the most important day in the calendar of heaven. But now look at this. How many Kenyans, how many people in Kenya would love to one day be in university like you are, and yet they too are children of God like you are, and yet they have not been given the opportunity you have to sit here? That right away tells you that you have been chosen of God. God has loved you so much that He has pulled you apart as a fraction of this community, this society. You are here in the center of excellence. Center of academia. Many, many have struggled, they've not reached where you are. But how unwise would it be for you to reach here, be loved that much? Some of your peers have not even arrived, they died of HIV. Some died when they were drunk and had accidents. Some died of disease. And you, He sustained you. How unwise would it be that when even all this is said and done, you miss the kingdom of God? Remember when 9,999 trillion years are over, eternity has not yet begun. Wouldn't it be wise for gracious sons and daughters like you to finally prepare for the coming of the Lord? Hallelujah. It would be a win-win. Lord, you chose me. You took me to university, you would say. And Lord, look, you also chose me to see your kingdom. What is the point in reaching here and miss eternity? And that's why today is a very pivotal day in your Christian walk, in your Christian life. The day of the wedding of the Lamb is the most critical day in the calendar of God in heaven. And yet, you are not the child of Satan. You are the child of God. That means, even you, that becomes the most important day in your calendar. Listen to me, precious people. In verse 7, of the same scripture, Revelation chapter 19, 6 to 9. In verse 7, he elaborates why on that day celebration will consume the kingdom of God. Because, he says, the bride of Christ has finally made herself ready. And fine linen, bright and clean, kitani kinzuri ingarayo, fine linen, bright and clean, has been given her to wear. And he says, the fine linen is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of the Lord in the church. Hallelujah. That means the Lord is sending me here, my precious sons and daughters, to tell you that the days when university students were known for going to the bars on Friday nights, the days when the students from the universities were known to jump the discotheques of this city, the days when university students, the women, were known to be picked by cars every Friday night. The days when the students of university were known for disobedience, for not caring. The days for immorality in the student hostels. The days for students to go out and take bong and smoke opium. He's sending me to tell you that time is out for those days. Time is over for those days. But now the wedding of the Lamb of God is near. But now, the daughters of God cannot anymore be seen in the dark Koinange streets wherever, looking for men at night. But now, time has come when the daughters of God and the sons of God should never languish around smoking bong. Time has come for them to get out of that ignorance. Ignorance means you have no wisdom. Get out of ignorance. And to be wise. Now listen to this. Jesus himself, in my Bible it is in red, the book of Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to verse 13. Jesus himself spoke about the day of the wedding of the Lamb. The day of rapture. And what did Jesus say about the day of rapture? He said a parable. He said it is like two groups of virgins. The first group are the foolish virgins. And the second group being the wise virgins that enter. And yet in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, the true definition of wisdom is where he says, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom." The universities are centers of wisdom. The universities are centers of learning, excellence, understanding, knowledge. But the true knowledge that can ever visit a university, the true wisdom that can ever be attained from the university, hallelujah, that you can ever come and find from the university, is the fear of the Lord. Then you become a winner. And that is why it is the lack of that understanding of wisdom that has now made our young men go to Mungiki. Our young men opt to serve the devil. Our sons and daughters become unproductive citizens. Join the same train of corruption. And yet for you today, he has poured abundant love that Kenya may have a new hope because of this meeting here today. Let me tell you, you are so critically important for this nation. Because when you will operate in the fear of the Lord, number one, even the sexually transmitted diseases that have ruined the workforce in Kenya will not touch you. Number two, your value systems will have been transformed even in the dormitories and halls of residence. Now you will carry yourself with responsibility, respect, and then the rampant abortions in the universities will come to an end. Hallelujah. You were not born murderers. Why is it that universities are now known to be centers of sexual sin and abortion? It is because the church has not bothered to tell them, look, come on now, stop. It is the fear of the Lord. Let us return to the fear of the Lord, university. Listen to me, my precious sons and daughters. Jesus, in that Matthew chapter 25, he said, only the wise church will enter the wedding of the Lamb. Which means, those Christians that will walk in the fear of the Lord. Listen to me, precious people. Purification becomes important in your life. I will mention it all here. I love you so much to leave you where you are. For example, in the same scripture, the wise virgins whom he says enter, the jar of oil that Jesus celebrates that they are carrying, That is the Holy Spirit. I am asking that the Christian Union in the University of Nairobi will now centralize the CU on the teachings of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the oil. He is the one that will bring the wisdom of God to you. And remember, when you have the fear of the Lord, the wisdom of God, even your exams you'll pass well. It's not only heavenly, even here. You become a winner here already. Listen to me, precious students, even in Egerton and Moi, listening by radio, Masinde Muliro, Marathon. Let us return to the fear of the Lord, that we may now walk with dignity and give hope to Kenya and the kingdom of God. Now listen to me. There is need for purification. I know we are going to begin by repenting here today. But the Lord says we must bear the fruit of repentance. My daughters, for example, after today's repentance, you cannot go back to slutty dressing. You will not go back to those mini skirts. Because now you will begin to understand you are the daughter of the Most High God. You are in the image of God. You were purchased at the price of the blood of the Son of the Living God, the blood of Jesus. You are not a prostitute. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God for God. This is the day of wisdom. This is the day to return to the fear of the Lord. The rapture is near. Let us prepare the way in our hearts. You cannot return to those mini skirts. You say, nope, I am not food for HIV/AIDS. But I am fearfully made to be a responsible citizen of this country and the kingdom of God. That is why I'm here today. That no harm will touch you. That you may never be humiliated, my sons and daughters. That nobody may ever laugh at you again. That from this day, you will know that you have a place in the kingdom of God. You are not irrelevant. I know that the church in this country has been preaching a lot of money. Panda Megu. Corruption. The gospel of prosperity. So they forgot to tell you about the holiness of God. But I'm here to tell you that here we are not going to take any offering. Neither do we do it in all the 1 million strong meetings I do. Because for once, let it be about the Jesus of Nazareth. For once, let it be about the Messiah. The Jesus of Nazareth. Today, when you go back to your halls of residence, you will understand that you have a personal responsibility to prepare the way in your heart for Jesus who died for you. Only Jesus made you reach the university. Nobody else helped you. The devil never helped you. He wanted to finish you, I know. But listen, precious people. That means purification must begin in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to take over your life, that you may walk a life of purity. Those of you that want to get married, it does not start with cohabitation, cohabiting. It starts in the house of the Lord. Then it will never go wrong. For surely you have no excuse to go into sexual immorality.
pipeline here. How he took me places in academia. But above it all, I cried, I said, Lord, why did you tell me way in advance, much earlier? Because now I understand, we live for the Lord. Hallelujah. And you can never outgrow the Lord. In whatever career you have, He still loves you. He is still the one that died for you. Now listen to the next one. I want to move a little faster. After that, the Lord spoke with me about the rapture of the dead. 25 days after that visitation, on the 26th of November, I sent this message across the globe to all the preachers you see on TBN and Daystar, name it, Christian TVs. He told me in a dream, want them to know that I am soon coming for the church. First of all, they were so surprised that this time God spoke from Africa. That really surprised them. But I think we ought to see the humble nature of our God. Now, after that, He spoke to me in a vision, and I saw how the dead will rapture the dead Christians on the day of the wedding of the Lamb. And in that vision, the Lord lifted me up in the sky. And then I saw the earth and a lot of turbulence on the surface, dust and soil jumping in that vision. And then after that, I saw people in their glorious bodies coming out of their tombs. And they were caught up with the glory of the Lord, and heaven opened and they entered. What is the message of the University of Nairobi? Today's USIU Catholic University, Kenyatta University, Jomo Kenyatta University, all the universities including KMTC from Thika and everywhere. What is the message to you in that visitation? Write it down. The book of Daniel chapter 12. I say there is nothing God speaks that you don't find in the Bible. I thank God He sent me. Every country the Lord has sent me to, and we are both in South America, Southern Africa, we are both in Europe, Asia, everywhere. There has been a common problem. That the church has not bothered to tally the word of God with the Bible. The Bible is the mirror God gave us. When you take the Bible as a student and look at your life through the Bible, you are able to see if there are some stains and remove them. Hallelujah. But in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel saw the same vision. And in verse 1, he talks about the great distress that would consume the nations of the earth, as has not happened since the creation of the nations until then, which is now. Listen to me, the university community. Daniel was an end-time prophet. He saw the things of this moment, this end time, from then. And in verse 2, after the distress, he says that multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting judgment, damnation, contempt. Hallelujah. But before you get to verse 2, Daniel talks of, but my people, everyone whose name will be found written in the book, will be delivered. Let me stop there. Listen to this. I saw another vision of God last year on August 19th, 2008. And we had a big meeting in Nakuru. We could not fit in the stadium, so we went to the Nakuru Girls High School ground, because it was more than 1 million people. And on the 23rd, 24th August 2008, last year, I stood before that meeting after the vision of 19th August. And I said, I have seen the black horse released from the throne of God. And I said, that means there is a global economic crisis coming to the earth. I said, a global famine is coming to the earth. Because we go to work to bring bread on the table. People go to work to bring bread on the table. Why did I say so? And when we were doing a revival in Canada, just barely 2 months from that prophecy, in October, all the global financial markets for sure crashed until today. Until today, the banks, the Western economies, they are trying to resuscitate them. They cannot. It was fulfilled rapidly. What is the meaning of that, precious people? Why did I prophesy global economic crisis coming to the earth, financial meltdown? Why is it that it happened so sharp? Because it is in Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 to verse 7. So you may understand what the Lord is saying. When Daniel said in Daniel 12 that there would be a great distress in these days, it includes the financial crisis that you see consuming the earth right now. The famine that is consuming the nations of the earth right now. And you are so precious a people that you cannot look at these things as just another news item. These were meant to be spiritual landmarks. That when you precious university students who are so blessed and honored to be sitting here, when you will now see them in your news, you say, oh, the Bible said these would be the signs that the Messiah is about to come. It takes away nothing from you, precious people. But it adds value to you. Because now you can prepare for the coming of the Lord. So you can win, win, win here, win in heaven. And the financial market crashed. But what amazes me in Daniel chapter 12 is that Daniel saw those who were resurrected from the grave for rapture, two types of people. First of all, Daniel saw those who were wise. In Daniel chapter 12 verse 2, we are reading down. Those who are wise, he said they were shining like the brightness of the heavens. But he says, those who led many to the righteousness of God, they were shining even brighter like the stars. You know that heaven is bright. But when there is a star, it shoots out. What is the message to our precious students in the universities and professors? Listen very carefully now. This is the message. Number one, if it means that those who are wise are the ones that enter heaven, that means time has come for our universities, for the university communities, to now go back into wisdom. To now walk in wisdom. To now, turn to the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And yes, God is justified to send me here. Because you would ask, why has God sent him here? Why has the Lord sent him here? To tell us to return to the fear of the Lord. God is justified. Because in the recent past, You have not looked like you are in the wisdom of God, my precious sons and daughters. Because of the things I said, because of the violence I saw, because of the immorality, and name it. Number two, the next message. The Lord is saying, those who lead many to righteousness will shine even brighter on that day. That means He has sent me here to announce to you that time has now come for the university to see you. For the Christians in the university to lead people to the righteousness of Jesus of Nazareth. To lead people to the Jesus of Nazareth. Many of them come as first years, as freshers. And they depend on you. You have to mentor them. But how will you mentor them? Where will you take them? God is saying, please, lead them to the righteousness of God, that you may have a reward in heaven and shine like a star. Hallelujah. Make sure you preach to them Jesus. Don't preach Jesus for some other reasons. Don't tell them if you receive Jesus, He will give you A, B, C, D. That is alright. The Lord promises to supply for you. In fact, that's one of the things I'm going to handle with you today. He promises that you may not be anxious. He says He knows that everybody, even the pagans, need these things. How about you who are His children? But first of all, the fear of the Lord. Now, you as Christians in more university listening by radio. You as Christians in Egerton University listening by radio. Marathon, Masinde Muliro, and all the universities assembled here. That means from today on, you must reach somebody with the good news of Jesus. Lead them to salvation. And follow up with them. Teach them the word. Help them with the word. That they may grow and reach where you are reaching now. But how can you preach righteousness if you are not walking it? That means from today on, your lives have to change. You have to walk in righteousness. I want to jump to the next. I'm just rushing through. These are very comprehensive messages, but I'm just jumping through. After that, precious people, on the 3rd of May, the year 2007, at 5:38 a.m., I saw the vision of the Lord again, where He opened heaven and He lowered a golden clock in the sky. And that clock was 1 minute to midnight. So what is the message to you precious people here? Just write down, because you read them at home. The message is this. Jesus Himself talks of the midnight hour. He says He Himself will come in the midnight hour. That means the midnight hour is near. What is the next message, precious people? We all know that every time it is 1 minute to midnight, that means the old day is gone and the new day has arrived. I have come to university. I am speaking from the University of Nairobi at the graduation square to tell you precious people that the old day when there was acceptance in sexual sin, the old day where you were Christians and yet you lied on the phone, the old day when you are a Christian student, a girl, and you are in love with a man who is not born again in the university, in love with the girls to give them higher grades. The old day, when universities were known for abortions and the tutors are being thrown everywhere. The old day, when the young men drank and were drunk and raped girls in the university. The old day, when your parents gave you some witchcraft and diseases. The old day, when you are a Christian in backsliding. That day is gone. That day is over. That day is finished. The new day has arrived. And it's a day of light. We need to be children of light now. We cannot continue in the origins of the darkness. Dissension, debauchery, envy, name it, angers. We cannot continue wearing the character of darkness. Because the new day has arrived. I have come to the University of Nairobi to announce that the new day has arrived for this institution. And in the new day, it is the Christians that will shine. Hallelujah. Until even the professors, they will look at the Christian students and they will ask other students, can you be like this one? The new day has arrived. And our way into the new day is repentance and turning away from sin. Returning to holiness. Universities will now be centers of holiness. Even the professors. The new day has come. Now you cannot solicit for sexual favor from students. But if you give me this, I will give you good grades. That is over. Hallelujah. Let us wear for the new day. Lest we are found naked. The Bible says in Revelation 16:15. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come like a thief. And blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with himself, that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Hallelujah. What a precious institution you are. That you may not go naked. Look, now you are sitting at the institution of learning, the highest in the land. And now you are also being admitted into the highest kingdom, the kingdom of God. You are a double winner. I want to do this, precious people. After that, the Lord spoke with me again. And that is the vision of the black horse that I shared of the 19th of August. And it's a privilege that even we are sharing this year, because right now, tremendous all over the globe. I told you, we just came back last week from a big meeting in France. It is such a privilege to sit with Nairobi and share this to them. Because at times you wondered, people out are preparing. How about Nairobi? Listen to me, precious people. In that vision of the black horse, when I first prophesied the coming of the global economic crisis, and in less than 2 months it happened, until today it's happening to the globe. By the way, that's the biggest prophecy I've ever given that has touched every nation on the globe. You will not understand the message God is bringing to you, universities, in that vision, except that when you are reading Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 all the way down, on the breaking of the seal, which means the timeline for the coming of the Messiah. But when you read verse 7 of Revelation chapter 6, is when you understand what this revelation is. So Your servant says that the next time a horse is released from heaven, which means the seal is broken, the next time that happens, then tribulation has entered. And when the tribulation has entered, that can only mean that the rapture has happened. That means the Lord is saying, be careful now. The wedding of the Lamb is about to take place. So you need to prepare. There's not much time. And I want to end up now with this vision here. Before I bring a special message to the youth, to you. Listen to this. When we were in France, in Paris, after I finished the meeting, and I was going to meet the pastors and leave, on the 11th of May, that night the Lord spoke to me in a mighty vision. This is the first time I'm releasing it in Kenya. How blessed is the University of Nairobi? In that vision, I am going to describe it here. I found myself in that vision walking. I was walking on a road, but there was so much light, and I knew it was coming from above. Everything became glorious. But I was walking. And then the voice said, look and see what has fallen at your feet. Again, walking, and the voice said, the voice came from above, look and see what has fallen at your feet. But instead of looking at the feet, because the voice came from above in that vision, I remember I looked at where the voice was coming from. And then I saw a piece of paper that was coming like this over the wind, like this, and it fell on my foot. And in that vision, when I picked it, and looked at it, I saw that it was handwritten, written by hand, like with an ink pen. And it was written three times. And what was in the writing? The first part said, I am coming. The next one under it said, I am coming. The third one, when I looked, said, I am coming. Three times. 11th of May, we were in Paris, France. And the note fell on my foot in that vision. And when I saw written three times by ink pen, I am coming. I am coming. I am coming. The Lord is coming. Precious people, the Lord is coming for the church. When Jesus comes for you, you will never worry again. There will be no hunger again. There will be no fear again. There will be no anxiety again. There will be no poverty again. There will be no saying, look, I am from a poor family again. There will be no fear saying, where will I get my job again? When Jesus comes and finds you ready, joy unspeakable, eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal blessings. Three times, I am coming. I am coming. I am coming. And I found out that in the last book of the Bible, the last book of the Word of God, the Bible, He mentioned three times it's in red. I am coming. I am coming. I am coming. What a wonderful God. Which means he's saying to the church, that is it. It is done. I am coming. And we have to prepare the way for the Lord. About the science. About the nursing training. The medical training. The Kenya Water training. About the law training. About everything you train us. Sociology. Name it. All the wisdom you are acquiring here. There is the coming of the Lord. Even the academic stuff. The coming of the Lord. Let us prepare for him. The devil never ever created anybody. Precious people. What an awesome blessing for me to stand here and share with you that even despite the brilliant, the thrilling academic career, finally, wisdom came to me when he called me. But I can now return to you and say, look, above all the wisdom of man, there is the coming of the Messiah. When it's all said and done. When the curtains about the kingdom of the earth is closed, then there is the kingdom of God. Then there is the Messiah. Let us prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. You know that what I'm saying is from him. Because you can see, those of you who have been in the meeting, the cripples walk, the deaf ears open, tumors disappear. Look at what just happened in France. They're still in shock in Paris. The tremendous power of God that came down to prove to them that, look, I have sent him here. Prepare the way. Look at the aspects in Kenya. Until Kenyans now came to me and said, look, the earthquakes you said, they came, but they were not the big ones we wanted. How can you cry for a big earthquake? How can you ask for a huge earthquake, Kenya? Do you know what it means when an earthquake visits town? Huh? Do you really know what it means for a huge earthquake to visit town? Do you know what it means? He can obliterate the history of the country. You might not even be there to take stock. When God shook you and said, I want to prove to you that he's my prophet. And God tarries. That means he has loved you. Just repent. Just repent and bless him. Kenya, I am coming. I am coming. I am coming. University of Nairobi. Even those of you in the halls of residence up there. The Lord is coming. Let us prepare the way of the Lord. Precious people. Time is over. He is coming for the church. Hallelujah. I want to share a simple brief before I finish. Listen to this. If you're writing down, write down the following for the youth. One day, if we have time, we can go through them, but you can read through them even alone. Just to the youth of the university. If you will hearken to these principles, oh, blessed are you. The number one principle that will help you is seek first the kingdom of God. If you're writing, seek first the kingdom of God. means in everything you are going to do, even when you are choosing your courses, even when you are talking with your friends, the first thing you'll ask, does it present the kingdom of God first? The first thing you'll ask, how does it relate to the kingdom of God? How does it help me reach the kingdom of God? You can read Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 to 33. Again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 to 33. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. Again, 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16. And then Luke chapter 12, verse 31. The next most important principle that when the youth of this country listening at Moi University now by radio, Egerton University by radio, listening all over Masinde Muliro, the many universities and colleges and KMTCs here, the second most important principle is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Hallelujah, listen to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Especially the youth with such tremendous strength you have. If you love the Lord your God with such strength, what tremendous exploits you can do for the kingdom. I'm rushing through. Number three, and you can read the second item, love the Lord your God with all your soul, your heart, your mind, your strength. You can read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, and John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. And you see that Jesus said, whoever loves me obeys my command. That means if you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, then you have to obey the command Jesus gave us. John chapter 15, you see it there. But in that command, he says, when you obey the command, then he will send you the counselor. Which means that is the gateway for open heavens into the universities. That is the gateway for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to visit the university community. That you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, then you pour the Holy Spirit into your life. Then never will you hunger again. Never will you starve again, fight again. Never will be in anxiousness and all that. Number three, precious people. Give the Lord your God your first fruit. Give the Lord your God your first fruit. What is your first fruit? What does that mean? That is your first strength. Young people, those are your first efforts. Take time even as you are in the university. Tell the Lord, Lord, look at how many of my colleagues have not been able to come to university. They're not privileged. They're not able to make it. And yet for me, you've loved me. You've shown a predisposition, a tremendous lavishing of love. And I'm here. So give him your first fruit in the university. That means your first effort. Go out, find somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Speak to them about Jesus. Read the scripture. Bring them to Jesus. Convert them. That is your first fruit. But don't say you have arrived in the university and say you are going to run to drink in the bars as your first fruit. Let us give our first fruit unto the Lord. The next Hallelujah. You can read that in the book of Exodus 34, verses 19 to 22. I am now talking about number four. Don't seek the approval of man, but of God. Listen to me, the students in Moi University tuned in by radio. Listen to me, the students in Egerton tuned in by radio. All the colleges in the Rift Valley and all the universities assembled here at the University of Nairobi. Don't seek the approval of man, but of God. Make sure in everything you do, don't worry about what men say, but worry about what God says. That will help even choose your courses, everything, even your friends in university. You might even walk with very few friends. The Bible says that the road that leads to heaven is a narrow road. But you will please God. I am running now. Number five principle for the youth in the universities. Be totally available to the Lord your God. Again, number five. Be totally available to the Lord your God. Can you imagine the youth of this nation? You are the cream of society. You are the cream. The future of Kenya is you, the university student. God has loved you and put you in that place. But listen to this. At this time in your life, you are not yet committed with some five babies, five children. You are not yet committed with running to make sure you work at work, bring money for rent for these five babies. At this time, most of you are single. Most of you youth at this time, at this stage of your life, you are single. So you can be surely available to the Lord at this time before the world catches up with you. Do you understand this? This is when you can choose to really be available to the Lord. Because time will come when you will want to work for the Lord. But look, you have three kids. One has to go to hospital. Another one, the teachers are calling you. And at the same time, you have to go to a job. The husband is saying this or the wife. And yet at this time, you can choose to be totally available to the Lord. You say, it is me, my studies, and the Lord. Hallelujah. Make sure you exploit this phase of your life. Number six principle to the youth in the university. Learn to stand alone. Again, learn to stand alone, even in the church. Learn to stand alone, even in the church. Even in the church. Because many times if you will go to the church, you might even find that there is sexual sin in the youth church. Learn to stand alone, even in the church. Jesus of Nazareth, he learned to stand alone, even in the church. In fact, the church fought him. Look at my life in this country. When the Lord sent me, I'm not telling you what I'm not living. When the Lord sent me to this country, you think it is easy to be prophesying earthquakes and blood flow and telling them I see parts of human bodies and it's happening until now. We recently saw in Karatina, Kirinyaga. The church fought me. They ran away from me because I rebuked sin in the church. because I told the church, you have sexual sin. I told them, you are corrupt. You are preaching the gospel of money. I asked them, how about the poor widows? How about the poor boys looking for jobs in the streets? Watakata wapi mbego za kuleta kanisani? Doesn't God love them? How about the orphans who don't even have a house or rent? And I learned to stand alone even in the church. And because of that, now God can use me. Even you. Learn to stand alone even in the church. If you go to church and find that the youth church, at night they are doing kesha with disco lights. They turn off lights and they put disco lights. Or if you go to the Christian Union and find that on Friday they are so-called movie nights. If you find sexual sin there, learn to stand alone even in the church. Don't compromise. The next, fellowship with people going in the same direction. The next, fellowship with people going in the same direction. Don't be walking this way and yet your fellowship with the drunkards here, the sexually immoral. That's why the Lord told Israel that the land I'm taking you to, take it over, conquer it, and get rid of those people. Don't let them live with you, because their idol worship will act as a snare, a trap unto you. If you are going to fellowship with people at the university, and you are a born-again professor, or you are a born-again student, then you have to be preaching Jesus to them. The only way you can fellowship with them is to show them this wonderful light. But you cannot be drinking with drunkards. You cannot be mixed with the sin of the world. Make sure you can engage, and you engage in the name of the Lord, and quickly withdraw as the Holy Spirit takes course over their life. Be careful. Walk with people going in the same direction. Number 8, most valuable principle to the youth in this nation, in the university. Always maintain an eternal perspective. The youth listening in Egerton University, even the professors in Egerton, even the lecturers and professors in Moi Referral Hospital, in the Moi University, those tuned in by radio, everywhere listening right now, even here, always maintain an eternal perspective in everything you do. Always maintain an eternal perspective. That means about your eternity. That means the first question you'll always ask before you talk, before you pick that ringing phone, before you choose that course, before you do anything, before you take that matatu, is how does this help my eternity? How does this help my eternity? I know many pastors long for you. So when you go to their churches, they'll say, look, I have 8,000 youth. And then you are dancing in their churches. They say, my church is full. And yet, they cannot help you like this to connect you to the kingdom of God. I've been sent here by God to make sure from today on, an eternal perspective. Before you pick that phone, before you go to that beer drinking Friday, or that socializing with your colleagues on Friday, after the cuts, after the what, after the exam, ask yourself, how does this help my eternity? If the answer is no, disconnect from that. The next principle, he says, be an example others can follow. Be an example others can follow. Make sure you be an example others can follow. What is the importance of that? Every time you are raised to that position of being an example others can follow, then inevitably you must be responsible. It will instill responsibility into you. That is the importance of this principle I'm sharing here. Remember, when the first years come, make sure you are an example that they can follow. When the young Christians come, make sure you become an example they can follow. Which means you are going to be the image of Christ. You are going to be ambassador of Christ. So when they see you, they say, you know what? I want to be like her. All her friends have aborted, at least in their second year. But I'm told she has maintained purity, she has distinction, she has stature, she has honor, she has respect, she has a standing, she is being feared, she is being talked about, she is the image here, everyone refers to her. I want to be like her. Be an example others can follow. Even if you have aborted, you can always repent and be restored by God. To be an example others can follow. That is the goodness of our God. Our God is a God of a second chance. That's why he sent me to the church, to everywhere, for repentance. Repent and come back. Now you can come back, repent. The next principle. Diligently serve the Lord your God. Diligently serve the Lord your God. Again, I repeat, diligently serve the Lord your God. Which means you should serve him with diligence. What does that mean? That means you should be good stewards of the word of God. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, he says, work out your faith in fear and trembling. Diligently serve the Lord your God in fear and trembling. Diligently serve him, the Lord your God, in fear and trembling, please. Which means before you serve him, say, Lord, help me. I want to do it right. I don't want to make mistakes. We are going tonight. We are going to evangelize in these first years or second years or whoever, these people in their halls of residence. But Lord, help me to do it right tonight. That is the fear of the Lord in the university. Serve the Lord your God diligently. The next principle, the last one, precious people. Let Jesus of Nazareth, let Jesus of Nazareth be the perfect example. Be the perfect example of singular focus. Of singular focus on God the Father. Let Jesus of Nazareth be the perfect example of singular focus on God the Father in
in your life. That means by looking at the life of Jesus, by looking at how Jesus of Nazareth, he was singularly focused on God the Father. Every time he said, I have come to do the works of he who has sent me. Every time he came, he said, I have been sent by him. Every time he says, I don't speak my own words except the words of he who sent me. Every time, serving God, serving God, serving God, serving God, and serving God the Father. Make sure in everything you do, let your primary focus be service unto the Lord your God. Let Jesus be your perfect example. He even did not allow destruction to pull him from that focus. Precious people, I bless the Lord who have allowed me to share with you these revelation of God on the coming of the Messiah. You can stand up on your feet now. Listen to me, wherever you are, even the halls of residence, even those standing out there on the stairs, everywhere, I am going to leave this place in the next 3 or 4 minutes. But right now, I am going to give you the greatest opportunity that can ever exist under heaven, above heaven, under the earth, above everywhere. If you know that in your life you have not walked right, today I know he has sent me here. But tomorrow I don't know. But today, the door is open here. If you know that you are not well with the Lord, this is the moment to come forward here. I'm going to pray for you in less than 2 minutes. In large numbers, very fast. Hurry, because I'm going. Let everybody come out and receive the Lord. Thank you, my daughter. Thank you so much, my daughter. Thank you. The wise ones are coming to the Lord. No more AIDS will touch them. No more disease will touch them. The wise ones are coming to the Lord. Somebody clap for them. Those who have received wisdom are coming. The door belongs to them. Look at the intelligent ones. The kingdom of God belongs to them. Vigelegele na shangwe. Even those listening by radio. Even those in Moi Rufro Hospital. Even those in Egerton. Even you can move closer to your radio. Look at how everybody is coming to the Lord. Look at how everybody is coming to the Lord. My daughters, don't remain. My daughters, don't be left out. My son, the moment has come to defeat the wickedness of the world. The moment has arrived to make sure no HIV touch you. The moment has come for you to be wise, for you to return to the fear of the Lord. He will provide for you. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else gathered by Yesu. Look at how they are coming. My daughters, don't remain. My daughters, look at you running. Run, thank you for running to Jesus. The one in the red t-shirt. My daughter, run to Jesus. Thank you, she's coming, let her shout. Everybody's coming to Jesus. Time is over. You are the future of Kenya. And with Jesus, there is a future for every one of you. He is no man that he can lie. His hand is not short. He has a long outstretched arm. Look at how they are coming. Kele kele kwa Yesu. My son, look at how they are coming from the stairs up, from the halls of residence. Come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. I'm waiting for you. Thank you so much, my son. Come right forward. Somebody clap for him. What a tremendous young man. Somebody clap for him and bless him. Thank you so much, my son. Thank you so much. Thank you. Just come forward. Somebody let him come through. Give him way right up in front of me here. Look at how the lady is coming. Look, they are coming from up there. Enter, enter. My son, just come forward here. Give him way as he comes out through. Precious people, in the past you have been hurt, you have been lied to. Look, look at how he's coming. Another one is coming. Another one is coming again. Another lady is coming. Thank you, my daughter. I was just about to go. When they decided to return to the Lord, this is the biggest revival on the earth. That the centers of excellence, the higher institutions of learning, can return to Jesus. That's the biggest revival. Anybody left out? Look at that, they are coming, they are breaking through. Everybody come out, man. Look at that coming. Hallelujah! Look at the young men. They have decided to come back. To come to the Lord. The wedding of the Lamb is near. I know there are thousands in Egerton right now receiving Jesus. I know them there. I know the ones of my university. I send them a little everywhere too. I am going to pray now. Look at how they are kneeling down before the King. There isn't this wisdom, the fear of the Lord. Lift up your hands, everybody that have come to receive Jesus. And repeat very loud. Repeat very, very loud. Even in your halls of residence, you can repeat. To my to Jesus, I repent today. And turn away from sin. I am returning home. Please receive me. And restore me. And wash. kusekele kwa Yesu.
Let me pray for you. Lift up your hands. Mighty Father, Father, you are the God of Israel, and you are the God of all thy students. Father, look at the mighty work they have done today. They have worked and defeated the devil today, and they have come out, and they have received the Jesus of Nazareth in their thousands. Father, with my prophetic tongue today, I declare and decree that your word will be established in their hearts, that your righteousness will be established in their lives, that beginning today, with this very prophetic tongue, the tongue that has shaken the nation with earthquakes, with everything, even the planets have moved, I decree today that you will bless each one of them. You will give them a future of hope. They will never lack. They will never suffer. You will protect them, and they will be the image of Christ. And when Jesus returns, they must see the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Time is over. I have blessed you with my prophetic tongue. Wait and see what will happen in your lives. But remember to give glory to the Lord. Shalom, the Lord bless you.